Good morning, Honeyridge family, and any visitors that may also be listening this morning. These days are certainly unprecedented times in our generation and living memory. None of us would have anticipated that the world would be in this situation. Barely 3 months after all the celebrations announced the dawning of a promising new decade, when the world celebrated New Year's Eve of 2020. And here we find ourselves in a lockdown situation, isolated in our homes with people all around the world being affected by a strange new threatening disease, resulting in many people dying across the world. The big question now in the world is, how long will it be before the medical scientists will find a cure to save the people of this world from this particular threat of possible death? There have been unprecedented efforts across the world to slow down the effects of this new life-threatening disease. It is a worldwide battle against a common enemy, a new viral disease, one that could possibly end up in death. And that raises the next question. What is it that humanity fears so much? Is it not ultimately the inevitable reality of death, and then the question of what lies beyond this life and death? This question begets even more questions. What is my purpose in this life? What is my hope in this life? What is my hope when this 21 days of lockdown comes to an end? And what if the lockdown is extended? But the most important question should be, what is my hope when my life in this world eventually does come to an end? As serious as the COVID-19 virus is, every human being carries in his or her body an even more serious disease that only Christ can remove, the disease of sin that could lead to eternal death. God's word reminds us that man has since the fall already been carrying a deathly virus within his body and soul. This virus is called sin. We read in Romans 5 verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. When contemplating death, we all need to cry out as the Apostle Paul did in Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this brings me to the theme of our devotion today, our hope in God in these troubled times. I'm certainly not attempting to downplay the seriousness of the current COVID-19 situation and its disastrous impact on our lives and on the whole world. It is in times like these that we should be taking stock of our lives and our future when we are confronted with suffering and even the possibility of death. C.S. Lewis had an interesting perspective on pain. Lewis had tasted pain in ways that few can relate to. He lost his mother at an early age, saw his dad emotionally abandon him, suffered from a respiratory illness as a teenager, fought and was wounded in the World War I, and finally had to bury his beloved wife. Through all of this, Lewis wrote about all of his heartache in his work, The Problem of Pain. In this work, Lewis penned one of his most famous lines. Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. We are most keenly aware of God's character in our suffering. I was encouraged by the Apostle Paul in his letter to Titus, and would like to invite you on a short journey through this short epistle. We can find encouragement and practical daily living advice in Paul's letter to Titus. In chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul introduces himself as a servant of God and an apostle of Christ Jesus. And then in verse 2, Paul immediately identifies his hope and gives the reason why this hope can be secure. Paul puts it like this: "It is the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of our eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began." The letter to Titus contains some very practical teaching and guidance, such as the qualification for elders in chapter 1 and verses 5 to 11, how older men ought to live in chapter 2 and verse 2, how older women ought to live in verses 3 to 5, how younger men ought to live in verse 6, and how workers ought to live in verses 9 and 10. In his letter, Paul gives Titus and the people to whom he was writing, and also to us today, very good advice on how we ought to live and to conduct ourselves in our daily living, regardless of circumstances and the times that we are living in. However, we can never earn our salvation by performing good works, and in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2, Paul announces the good news. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age." God's grace is immense and unfathomable. Paul's message and encouragement of hope continues in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 2, where he says, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works." In chapter 3, Paul gives us some more practical advice on how we ought to live. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3, he reminds us of our duty to be submissive to our rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy to all people. He reminds us of our sinful ways in which we used to live in verse 3, but Paul also reminds us of the amazing character of God and the hope we already have in this life. And in verses 4 to 7, when he says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." When we reflect on what is happening right now across the world and here in South Africa, we are acutely aware of the very serious threat that this COVID-19 virus has introduced into our daily lives. Through what is happening now, God is speaking into our own lives, and he is reminding us of even a greater life and soul-threatening disease than COVID-19. And that is the disease of sin that's within the DNA of every one of us, and that every person will one day have to face physical death and then judgment before God, seated on his throne as the righteous judge. But even so, and even now, God does not leave us without hope. For everyone who comes to a repentance of sin and faith in Christ will have a blessed hope. In the letter to Titus, we find this hope, firstly in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Secondly, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And thirdly, that we may have this in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Therefore, we should not be fearful of COVID-19 or any other disease. We should not be fearful of death, when our hope is in the appearing of our great God and Saviour, when our hope is in an eternal life, which God, who never lies, has promised. But rather, we should, in the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready with the following response: but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness and kindness in Christ. We thank you for the grace and mercy that you have extended to us through Christ's death on the cross, through the shedding of his blood that you richly poured out on us, so that we can obtain the forgiveness of our sins, that we may be justified in Christ, and that we may become heirs according to the hope of life. Father, I pray that you will grant the people of this world the gift of true repentance and faith in Christ alone, to the glory of your name alone. Amen.